Hello, this is Paula with the Vermilion County News on Thursday, November 20th, 2025. We'll start with a story on the front page titled City Council Debates Budget Cuts, and this is written by Christy Jankowski in Danville. A lengthy City Council session led to a heated discussion over the budget between members Tuesday evening. Additionally, following months of discussion, the City Council adopted an ordinance regarding the process of applying for an honorary street name. During the budget portion of the meeting, Alice Payne, a Danville Public Library board member, addressed the council about the cuts to the library budget. This year, we have recently hired a new director, and it is important to allow him and his staff the opportunity to thoroughly review the budget and identify where adjustments can be made, Payne said. During the budget discussion, Alderman Tricia Teague also expressed her concerns about cuts to the library budget. I do believe that the new director should have the opportunity to be strategic and surgical as it relates to what he may want to do as it relates, and I have to change pages here, so give me a second, to cuts, Teague said. Teague added she would like there to be an easier way to read the budget for the public, saying it's a 171-page document, so there's a lot of detail to go through. Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. addressed Teague's concerns as well as her concerns about animal control. Chairman Stephen Miller of the County Board is asking them to review their budget, Williams said. They have been billing us for a long time, so let's say, for example, they were supposed to bill us $25 a month per animal per board. They've been charging us one time instead of for each animal that we were to be boarding. So that's one area of change. The budget discussion led to a few disagreements between Alderman Doug Ahrens and the mayor, with Ahrens pushing for personnel costs. We have a new director coming in, and I think that is a hell of a welcome to come in and say we are going to cut your budget, Ahrens said about the proposed cuts to the library budget. I say that because the library board has been good stewards. Ahrens continued with his disagreements. My particular belief is the city personnel cost alone has risen over $6 million since the fiscal year 23-24 budget. We have added more than two dozen positions in the city government. Ahrens continued to say that city personnel staff amounts are not sustainable. There's lots of speculations and ifs, but what I can tell you is we have 7 years of proving time and time again, Williams said in response, because we have conservative revenue estimates that we bring in more money when we budget it. Williams said the salaries of some city staff were increased in the past due to not being paid adequately for their positions. So yes, there was a one-time major increase in salaries because they had never been paid appropriately, Williams said. In the good news, the projected TIF revenue for the downtown Danville doubled, according to Logan Kronk, the community development administrator. The reason there is money available for amendment is that we have received the final installment of property taxes, Kronk said. And the projected TIF revenue for downtown Danville was $105,000. It doubled. It's over $200,000 that we're receiving on an annual basis. Street name ordinance. Community member P.J. Bourne has presented the board with her request to change her street name to honor her grandchild several times in the past few months. With an ordinance on the docket for approval, she spoke to the board members, the board requesting a change to the ordinance. What I'm asking is, since it is not really a street, it's a cul-de-sac, and with that in mind, I would like you to reconsider, Bourne said. I would ask for that you would amend or make amendments where anyone who lives on a cul-de-sac. The council did amend the honorary street naming ordinance, which the Public Works Committee had approved the previous week, going from $450 for the application fee to $200. The application fee was kept non-refundable. Teague asked a few questions about the ordinance, as well as as asked for some changes, a process that requires them to do a lot of legwork and to pay money for it, Teague said. And to me, requiring two-thirds vote could make it political, and to me, that's problematic. Aarons disagreed with Teague, but did find the 50 petition signatures difficult for some citizens. The thing that I thought perhaps might be more challenging is getting 50 supporting petition signatures from each ward, Aaron said. I thought that was more or less reasonable than the two-thirds vote. Teague disagreed with the proposed amendment change from Aaron's. A person who's petitioning for collecting signatures for a name change is not running for office. They will have no way of knowing whether or not the people that you're getting signatures from are registered, Teague said. I think it creates an additional barrier. The ordinance passed with 8 council members voting for it, and with Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. being the affirmative vote to pass with the proposed amendments added. The amendments include a change from 50 to 250 petition signatures from property owners within the city of Danville. The council will have to give a two-thirds vote approval for any honorary street name application to be approved. In other news, the council approved a smoke lounge at Seven Points and an amendment to the solar zoning ordinance to be in compliance with the state. Next story, again, written by Christy Jankowski, titled County Tax Rates Lowered. This is in Danville. The Vermilion County budget was approved with decreases to the animal shelter on Tuesday evening. The board stated its November meeting by going back to the October meeting to go over the county's budget. Board member and chairman of the Finance Committee, Jerry Hocker, talked about the tax rate cuts to the animal shelter, stating, "I believe it's a good plan." The tax rate decreased from 1.26 to 1.23, Hocker said, addressing the board. That is the second year in a row that the board has been able to decrease the tax rate, and the year before that we were able to hold the rate. So that's a good thing. Hocker said the health insurance savings are unexpected for many areas of government in the country, bringing them a decent chunk of change compared to others. The health insurance saves the county $645,141, Hocker said. I think that is very important to look at, because I think if you follow the news, all the other government entities have seen a great increase, not a decrease in their health insurance. Hocker expressed some concern about the cuts to the animal shelter. It is very well known that our animal shelter is in dire repair, but we only voted for $100 for building repair, he said. I can assure you that we are going to do what we can to improve the facility, Board Chairman Steve Miller responded. The animal shelter budget decreased by $450,615. The 2026 fiscal year budget was adopted by the board. Multiple solar project resolutions and agreements were approved. The board approved a decommissioning agreement relating to a solar project with Solar 3 LLC. The project will occupy about 28.3 acres while using around 5 megawatts. This is the only chance that the county has to supplement restrictions on these projects versus if we didn't have this negotiation, Hocker said before voting yes in the resolution. Also with that project, the board was told that once any project provides the necessary documents to get a building permit, one should be issued to them. The CVE Illinois Ridge Farm Project 324 project was approved to construct and operate a solar energy facility of approximately 2.5 megawatts and approximately 20 acres. The replacement for the Royal Road Bridge was also approved by the board. The bridge work was already discussed by the Transportation Committee. Miller addressed the talk of a nuclear reactor in the county. I want to mention that regarding the seeking of a small nuclear reactor, support of such an inquiry, we have one of the key ingredients of the federal government's search for places to have such a facility, Miller said. One of them is a place areas who have power plants that are not operational. Miller went on to say Vermilion Advantage should take charge. I anticipate bringing a resolution to the board as soon as possible to resolve issues concerning the expenses that Vermilion Advantage has incurred on behalf of Vermilion County, Miller said. But this is still a work in progress. We will be presenting you in the not too distant future. And there's just one obituary today. Donald Wayne Pickett is. It is with profound sorrow that we announce the passing of Donald Wayne Pickett, age 65, of Bruceville, Texas, who departed this world Friday, November 14, 2025, surrounded by family. Donald was born December 23, 1959, in Danville to his loving parents, Otis Wayne Pickett and Betty Sue Linder. Services at a later date. Next story is titled Documenting History. Casper turns Running Passion into a book on the Bresee Hall. This is written by Chad Darren Danville. Being creative, having a thirst for history and time on your hands while you're running is the perfect recipe for a book. That's at least what happened to Danville's Michael Casper. For the past 20 plus years, Casper has taken to the streets in a quest for physical fitness, and along the way has creative juices started flowing. What started as just an inquisitive mind wanting to learn about all of the historic buildings in Danville quickly shifted to a sole focus on the Bresee Hall in the past few years. Casper, who originally published a photo book on Bresee Hall, has now added at the heart of Danville the story of Bresee Hall, the first National Bank building. I started running around town, and I started taking pictures while I ran, and it seemed like the Bresee Hall Tower was in every one of them, Casper said. It became a thing for me. It was somewhere weird in town. I would take a photo. Sometimes it was just really small, but you could see it from so many places. Included in those pictures was the Old Mill Street Bridge and Greenwood Cemetery Road. Honestly, it started with the Fairchild Overpass, Casper said. You can see trees, the Wolford, and the Bresee Tower. Now it's just trees and the Wolford. Coming from the best, it was like a lighthouse drawing people to downtown Danville. All of those photos went into the original book, but after publishing it, Casper had second thoughts. As the demolition process started, I had people asking me for the original book, Casper said. I didn't want to print that one again because it was incomplete, so I went into creating the second edition. This new book has not only all of the photos from the first edition, but Casper has also included more historical information, along with photos during the demolition process. I go back to the very beginning in 1869 when it was a two-story building, Casper said, and then it became four stories, and the tower was built in 1917 to 1918. It was the birth of the skyscraper in Danville. I also have a bio on the Bresee brother, Paul and Tis Bresee. I also have all of the legal jargon that went on for the past 20 to 30 years between the city and the different organizations trying to renovate it. Casper said he stopped by the demolition site multiple times in a day to get photos. It was not only changing every day, but it would seemingly change every hour, he said. I wanted to make sure that I had all of the photos of the process. According to Casper, there were several historic items that were either damaged or destroyed in the demolition process. On February 5th, the medallion was chiseled in half, he said. I have a whole story about that in the book. I had reached out trying to save that, wanting to know the plan. I was assured it was going to be saved, but one morning Sloan Anderson called me and told me about it being broken into pieces. Then there is the air raid siren that fell to the ground. It's now at Cedars Collision, getting restored so it can be put in the War Museum. That was an afterthought. Thankfully, they are bringing it back to stage shape. While not in the original building, the location of the Bresee Tower was on land where President Abraham Lincoln had a law office, according to Casper. So what did Casper learn the most about while putting this book together? The amazing construction of the building, he said. It was the It was built and with reinforced concrete. There were no interior supports, but it wasn't coming down. The old vault in the basement was completely surrounded by rebar. There is a cool photo of it in the book. All of Casper's photos in the book were taken with his iPhone, while he also has photos from Anderson, Jared Lowe, and drone shots from Cody Keeling, along with historical photos. Additionally, the foreword of the book was written by Kevin Cullen. The hardest photos that to get were of the Brezzi brothers, Casper said. The only ones I found online were on Ancestry.com. The second edition book, with 200 currently printed, is on sale now at www.rundanville.com, and the cost is $49.99. Casper will be doing a book signing this Saturday from noon to 3 p.m. in the Fisher Theater. Casper said that he still plans to produce another book about other buildings and facts about Danville. I still want to do that, but I need a little break, he said. And there's a picture of Danville native Michael Casper takes a self-portrait of himself standing next to the former Brezzi Tower before it was demolished this past year. Next story is titled Hill Honored with Rotary Award, and this is written by a staff reporter in Danville. The Danville Noon Rotary Club announces Tanya Hill, Executive Director of the Danville Area Community College Foundation, as the recipient of its 2025 Vocational Service Award. According to a release from the Danville Noon Rotary Club, this distinguished honor recognizes individuals who exemplify Rotary's commitment to integrity, leadership, and service through their vocation. Hill has long been a respected leader in both education and community advancement. As DACC Foundation Director, she has demonstrated exceptional dedication to expanding student opportunities, strengthening community partnerships, and championing initiatives that remove barriers to education. Her enthusiastic commitment to service has had a meaningful and lasting impact on students, families, and the region as a whole. Tanya's leadership reflects the very essence of Rotary's values, said Terry Cummings, president of the Danville Noon Rotary Club, in the official release. Her work not only elevates the mission of DACC, but also uplifts our entire community. She approaches every challenge with compassion, professionalism, and genuine desire to help others succeed. We were honored to recognize her contributions. The Vocational Service Award is one of Rotary's most esteemed recognitions, celebrating professionals also who model ethical behavior, commitment to excellence, and service above self in their daily work. Hill's dedication to educational access, community engagement, and student success has consistently demonstrated these ideals. Hill will officially be honored at the Danville Noon Rotary Club upcoming meeting on Monday, January 5th at St. James United Methodist Church. And there's a picture of Tanya Hill, Executive Director of the Danville Area Community College Foundation, has been named the 2025 recipient of the Vocational Service Award by the Danville Noon Rotary Club. Next story is titled Local Administrators Recognized by IPA, and this is by a staff reporter. Three Vermilion County administrators were recognized recently by the Illini region of the Illinois Principals Association. Georgetown Ridge Farms' Kevin Thomas was the high school principal of the year. Lindsay Prunkard from Bismarck Henning is the middle school junior high principal of the year, and Nicole Johnson of Oakwood Grade School is the assistant principal of the year. Villa Grove's Robert Beck is the elementary school principal of the year. According to the release from the Illinois Principals Association, the criteria for these honors includes demonstrating a positive impact on the education and advocacy for children, ensuring the school climate is positive and reflects high staff and student morale, demonstrating creativity and involving the community in the life of the school and using community resources for students. Region winners are selected from the 21 regions of the Illinois Principals Association, and a state winner is chosen by a committee composed of IPA past presidents. The Illini region of the Illinois Principals Association includes schools administrators throughout Champaign, Coles, Douglas, Edgar, and Vermilion counties. Next story is titled Sands Removed from Sheriff Ballot, written by Christy Jankowski in Danville. The Vermilion County Clerk, Robin Hefferman, said in a press release that a sheriff candidate, Hugh H. Sands, will be removed from the ballot following a hearing on Monday morning. Vermilion County Board Member Jerry Hawker filed an application to Sands' nomination papers on November 12th. The hearing was held on Monday. During the hearing, legislation was introduced that elected officials claimed had not been completed. According to State Statute 55 ILCS 5/3-6001.5, which says a candidate seeking the office of sheriff must have completed the minimum standards basic law enforcement officers training course. Sands was ultimately removed from running on the Vermilion County sheriff candidate. The position is open due to the retirement of current Sheriff Pat Hartson. The Vermilion County Clerk's Office cited the removal due to Gercone versus Cook. Sands did not respond to any comments. There are two Republicans on the ballot for the primary in March, and they are Mike Hartshorn, a captain in the sheriff's department, and John Thompson, a former Danville police officer and current Vermilion County 911 director. Next story is titled Westville Woman Sentenced to Prison for Two Felonies in Danville. Kylie Hamer, 29, of Westville, pled guilty to a burglary, a Class 2 felony, and unlawful possession of methamphetamine with intent to deliver, a Class X felony, on November 3rd. In an official release from the Illinois State's Attorney's Office, Hamer was sentenced to 12 and a half years in the Illinois Department of Corrections. Following his term of imprisonment, Hamer will serve 18 months of mandatory supervised release. The people presented evidence that on July 16th of 2024, Hamer was caught coming out of his house in Georgetown that was boarded up due to being rehabilitated. The owner arrived, found Hamer on the property, and called the police. When police spoke with Hamer, she admitted looking for a jewelry box inside the house. Hamer had kicked in a plywood covering on the back door to gain access. The people presented evidence from the second case that on October 2nd, 2024, agents with the Vermilion Metropolitan Enforcement Group caught Hamer dealing approximately 30 grams of methamphetamine. The substance was sent to the Illinois State Police Crime Lab for analysis and returned positive results for methamphetamine. State's Attorney Jacqueline Lacey said in a news release, "I would like to extend my gratitude to Georgetown Police Department for their swift apprehension of this defendant following the burglary and to the Vermilion County Metropolitan Enforcement Group agents whose work endured that this defendant was held accountable for dealing methamphetamine. This sentence shows our collaborative commitment with all of the law enforcement agencies to keep Vermilion County safe." The plea and sentencing hearing were presided over by Judge Karen Wall. Next story is titled Pritzker Discusses Immigration with Pope Leo XIV in Rome, written by Brendan Moore in Capital News in Springfield. Governor J.B. Pritzker met with Pope Leo XIV in Rome on Wednesday, with the two discussing the Trump administration's aggressive immigration raids and the governor formally inviting the Chicago-born pontiff back for a visit in his hometown. The governor's office said that Pritzker and his wife, the First Lady M.K. Pritzker, met with the Pope for 40 minutes, where they offered well wishes and deep gratitude for his public service and for his positive representation of Chicago, Illinois, in the United States. Pritzker's chief of staff, Ann Caprara, also was present for the meeting. The governor wrote on social media afterward that it was an honor to meet a son of Illinois and to express the pride and reverence of the people of this great state. Pope Leo XIV's message of hope, compassion, unity, and peace resonates with Illinoisans of all faiths and traditions, said Pritzker, who is Jewish. Chicago Cardinal Blaise Cupin helped arrange the private audience, according to the governor's office. Immigrant advocacy. Pritzker, a Democrat, diverges from the teachings of the Roman Catholic Church with his support for abortion rights and same-sex marriage, among other topics. But the governor and Pope have found common cause in their advocacy for the rights of immigrants. Both have been outspoken critics of the Trump administration's immigration crackdown in the United States. The Chicago region specifically was the target of Operation Midway Blitz, an enforcement campaign that wrapped up a week ago. As of last month, about 3,300 people were arrested locally, according to the Department of Homeland Security. While DHS repeatedly claimed that they were targeting the worst of the worst, nearly all of the people swept up in the raids had no criminal record or presented a high public safety risk, according to the Chicago Tribune. The campaign resulted in violence, with federal agents and protesters clashing outside of the Immigration and Customs Enforcement processing facility in suburban Broadview. And masked federal agents reportedly deployed tear gas and other chemical agents to disperse protests that arose during operations in Chicago neighborhoods. At the Pope's urging, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops released a statement last week condemning the indiscriminate mass deportation of people and calling for an end to the dehumanizing rhetoric and violence against immigrants. Leo, asked about the bishop's statement by reporters in Rome on Tuesday, said he was troubled by the extremely disrespectful way migrants had been treated. "We have to look for ways of treating people humanely, treating people with the dignity and that they have," the Pope said. "If people are in the United States illegally, there are ways to treat that. There are courts. There is a system of justice." Pritzker is not the first Illinois elected official to receive an audience with Leo. Secretary of State Alex Gonzalez met with the pontiff in Rome last month, presenting him with the White Sox-themed Illinois specialty license plate, and Chicago Alderman Bill Conway made the pilgrimage in August. And there's a picture of Governor Pritzker shakes hands with Pope Leo XIV during a meeting Wednesday in the Vatican City. Just a quick news brief. Christmas concert set for Saturday. The Vermilion Festival Chorus will be performing an arrangement of traditional Christmas carols during their concert, The Joys of Christmas, at 2 p.m. on Saturday, November 22nd. The concert will be held at St. James United Methodist Church, located at 504 North Vermilion Street in Danville. Admission is free, but donations are requested, with a portion of the donations going to the OSF Bobette Stille Hagler Cancer Care Center. The concert is sponsored by Julius W. Hagler II Foundation. And Schweitzer holds Toys for Tots Drive. State Representative Brandon Schweitzer, a Republican of Danville, is hosting his first ever Toy for Tots Drive this holiday. New and unwrapped toys for children can be dropped off at Schweitzer's office, located at 3821 North Vermilion Street and 5 in Danville, until December 9th. All toys collected will go to the Danville Toys for Tots chapter. So that'll be it for today, Thursday, November 20th, 2025. Next Thursday is Thanksgiving, so I will not be here for that. But looks like it's going to be a rainy week and kind of chilly. Hopefully we survive it. Anyway, I hope you all have a good week, and hopefully I'll see you again in a couple weeks. Take care. Happy Thanksgiving. Bye.